We are back with more of Lake Effect. I'm Bonnie North.
And I'm Mitch Tyke. Our farming contributor Dave Kozlowski owns and operates Pinehold Gardens in Oak Creek with his wife Sandy Rodens. They gave up other careers more than a decade ago in order to pursue the demanding and rewarding profession of farming. Kozlowski says it was a steep learning curve, but their fellow farmers were a big help as they got started.
Now the mentee is becoming the mentor. For this month's farming segment, Kozlowski brought along Sarah Crone of Village Farmstead, which is also in Oak Creek. She gave up her previous career just about a year ago to farm full-time, though she and her partner Sam Oden had almost 10 years of community gardening and hobby farming behind them. Oden's sister will join their team this year, as well as they grow organic produce for direct sales to consumers.
Crone and Kozlowski joined Lake Effect's Audrey Nowakowski in the studio recently to discuss their different perspectives on farming, its challenges, and rewards. Crone starts by explaining how she knew she had to become a farmer.
I didn't know anything about farming or business, but I kind of had this moment when I was in college and I didn't really know what I wanted to study, and I kind of had some resistance to joining the workforce and doing a 9-to-5, which I couldn't find anything that I wanted to do. And I studied environmental ethics, and I thought about all these scholars and authors that I was reading about and farmers, and I just thought that this was such a wholesome way to spend my life, just like growing things that we directly need every single day. And so we decided after some years of practice that we would take the plunge and go for it. But we didn't know anything about business, and we're learning that it's definitely a business if we're trying to make a livelihood out of it. But we just learned through experience and from mentors such as Dave and Sandy and other farmers that have welcomed us into the community.
Now for both of you, you know, what was that learning curve like? And is there still one for you, Dave?
Thankfully, there is still one. I mean, when the job becomes boring and you're not learning something, I don't want to do it anymore. So yeah, every year is a challenge. Every year we learn something. And, you know, I want to say I met Sam, Sarah's partner, before I met Sarah. I was so impressed with his questions and his interest in the business and farming that I was just thrilled that we had young farmers like this coming into the profession. But yeah, I'm still learning. And I would say our stories are fairly similar. I wanted to make the world a little better place, and we just jumped in with both feet into farming. And at that time, there were a number of small farms doing the same thing in the area. And we took advantage of their generosity and time by stopping and visiting them and learning what they were doing. It's pretty much similar to what Sam and Sarah do. So to me, that's the best way to figure things out. Books help. But really, it's just talking to another farmer. And that's what we did. And still do, by the way. We still stop at farms.
For you, Sarah, were you surprised at maybe the number of farms that were available for you and your partner, Sam, to go and learn from, like Dave and Sandy? Because, I mean, do we know the number comparative difference between how many farmers you could go and talk to versus you going into farming now in 2018, 19?
Yeah, I mean, we've lost some, but it probably doubled or tripled in that time. Mm-hmm. We had to drive out west of Madison to find a few farms to talk to.
When we first started, the first thing that we decided to do was let's talk to farmers in the area. Let's find farms that are doing things similar to what we aspire to do. And let's call them on the phone and see if they'll just talk to us. And we did. That's how we met Dave and Sandy. We called them on the phone and said, hey, we're thinking about starting a farm. Can we pick your brain? Do you have any wisdom to offer us? And every single farm that we called was more than willing to have a conversation with us, to invite us over. We've just been so welcomed into the farming community that it's a place that I want to stay. And I definitely hope that more people feel welcomed into it as well.
How do you think you can foster more growth? You know, people have the younger generation, as you mentioned, most go into the 9-to-5 job fields or, you know, the more conventional degrees to study, and they're not thinking per se about working the land. And a lot have lost that family connection to farms. You know, no one has a family farm owned by their grandparents or great grandparents or have that connection to the land.
Yeah, I think we're in an interesting spot right now. I think a lot of young people are really interested in farming, and they are interested in changing the way that we eat, and they're changing the way that their lifestyles are. I feel like it might be hard to ask a young person like myself who had a 9-to-5, who had a 401k, benefits, weekends off, to exchange that for a life of farming. But I think a lot more people are interested in it, and we try to encourage our friends who want to come over to be put to work. Like, let's do some farming together. And at the end of the day, it's always so rewarding. They feel rewarded. They feel like they made a difference. They feel like the farm is partly theirs, too. And I just think that it's just a good community for people our age to start getting involved in. And I think they're interested in doing it, too.
Yeah, I think there's two tracks we have to sort of keep abreast of here. One is, like Sarah and ourselves and so many young farmers, you have to have the mindset and the philosophy to want to do this. And it doesn't matter whether you're growing organic produce or you want to do dairy cows or corn and soybean. I mean, farming is farming. And so you're going to want to do that kind of work. The other track, particularly as it pertains to us, is for those people who are sitting on the fence, we've got to convince them that you can actually make a living doing this. And there's not much ways we can cut our cost. So we have to hope that the public is interested in buying what we produce.
Right. We do need the people that support organic farming as well. Like, not everyone has to be a farmer, but we have to have the people that understand it and they're willing to maybe spend a little bit more money than they're going to spend at Costco buying something that's organic but doesn't have a face or a name that comes along with it.
Now, you mentioned, Sarah, you know, trading the salaries, you may get benefits, weekends off, vacations. You know, you guys are working probably more than you ever have. How has your relationship with money and risk changed as you've changed to the life of a farmer? How do you see things differently?
Well, risk is, it's always a thing that's in our minds. I happen to be a very frugal person in the first place, which made transitioning to farming relatively easy at this point. We're still very new to it, so I can't really speak for what this means financially for us. But I think that the risk of not having benefits or dental insurance, like, those things are okay for me to exchange for different things that I value, such as being my own boss, working with the sunlight hours, moving my body like it was intended to be moved, and just kind of going with those natural rhythms of the universe instead of these values that society holds up, like weekends and paid vacation. Like, those things are a valid exchange for me.
Farmers, I tend to find, are some of the smartest people I know. And along with that is being able to accommodate these kinds of risks and challenges and meet them head on and find solutions to them rather than crumble under the weight of them. And that seems to be a main tenet of pretty much any farmer if they're going to stay in the business. Managing money, what's money? we don't worry about that part, but the risk is a significant challenge, and you have to be willing to meet that challenge.
Dave, you mentioned that farmers are good problem solvers. I'm curious, what have you both found to be the hardest part about farming, whether there's one particular story, an instance of just a crop that gave you all the difficulties, or just the things that you've learned throughout to adjust to?
That's a tough one. There's a lot of things that are hard about farming, but at this point in the game for me, something that I have noticed is the hardest thing is meeting customer expectations. We live in a world of convenience and busyness, and people have lost their connection with food and they've lost their consciousness about food. And I'm finding that it's hard to take your whole life and turn it upside down to grow this produce so that someone can have a beet at the end of the day. But then a lot of people don't even know what to do with a beet at the end of the day. And we're up against these, like, food subscriptions where food comes to your door with a recipe and the spices, and sometimes it's pre-cut. And it's like, we've already grown all this food. Like, we can't possibly compete with someone who's doing that. Like, if the customers could meet us halfway, frankly, I feel like it would be nice. Like, we all have to make moves here to change the food system. And I feel like small farmers are doing so much already. And, you know, it has to be a group consciousness thing. And if it's not, I don't know that we're going to be able to compete with all the other food options that are out there.
You kind of want to expect a farmer to say, what's the hardest part of your job? Well, you know, it's 13-hour days or 14-hour days. It's not really. It's not a physical thing. I think it's an emotional thing. Like Sarah says, it's hard to go to a farmer's market and have people not buy your produce, have walked right by you, even some say some nasty things about this stuff. That's emotionally hard because you have a lot of sweat and blood involved in your product. And it's also emotionally difficult to deal with issues like we had last year when you lose an entire carrot crop. It isn't the money. It wasn't the work you put into it. It's just, gosh, you know, How do you bounce back from that kind of loss? So it's an emotional thing, I think.
And, you know, we're talking about the difficult times, but there's also some great successes that you can have throughout farming. And, you know, Dave, you've been in the business for a while, and Sarah, you're pretty new, but do you guys remember your first farm memory where it's like, this is the first plant that I grew successfully, or, you know, what that crop was, or working the land, prepping it for something, and you look and you see and you realize and confirm to yourself, like, yes, this is what I need to be doing?
That happens every spring. It's like happens again and again and again and again. It's always new. When I go out and I scan the field and I can see all the plants coming up and they're all healthy and the weeds have been under control, I get the same thrill I did the first time we did it, when we had one CSA member and we were selling things off the farm, to now with 100 and whatever, 50 or 80 CSA members and selling off the farm. I get the same exact thrill as though it was the first time when I see the plants all in a row, the weeds kept under control, everything looking healthy. Yeah, it just keeps coming back.
My first real experience with that was actually this year. We're doing our first CSA. And when we got our first check in the mail, I almost was brought to tears just thinking, like, these people trust us enough to write us a check for almost $600, and they just trust that we're going to feed them. And it was just, like, so emotional for me just thinking that we have community out there that's willing to trust farmers even though there is a risk. And that's why I'm doing it.
When it comes to the future of farming, how do we get more people like Sarah to consider working a field versus working at a desk?
That's the $10,000 question, isn't it? Yeah. You know, I think, as we sort of mentioned before, partly you have to have the mindset. And sometimes it's not when you're 20 years old. Sometimes it's when you're, you know, in 30s or 40s. But so you have to have the mindset. And secondly, we have to show them that this is a profitable, interesting, challenging business to get into, that it's not just purely grunt work. You know, like I said before, I think farmers are some of the smartest people I know. They know how to fix things. They know how to plant things. They know how to sell things. They can manage money. They're an incredible group of people. So we need to continue to be successful. And then that success, I hope, breeds success.
Yeah. And another thing I think that might get in the way of young people farming is just access to land, and having land be so expensive, and so many of us are still paying off student loans. Yeah. And in our case, we live on a homestead, 14 acres, and not everyone who lives at the homestead is involved in the market farm. But we could never afford to live where we live if we didn't live with a group of people that was helping to pay for the property taxes and just all the costs that come in with living in that space.
That's the other thing that changed in the last 25 years. There was really no money available for us to start a farm back then. But now the USDA does offer new farmer grants and loans. And it sounds like I don't know the details of it, but show them a good business plan, show them that you have some experience, that you did some interning and things like that. And there's the potential for some grants and loans to start your business and expand your business. So that's a good thing. And I think more young people know about that might help. But land's a big issue.
Now, Dave, as we're sitting here with Sarah, I'm sure you're reminded of those first, you know, few seasons where you and Sandy were getting things started. Do you either of you have questions for each other, you know, while we're here?
I remember our first farmers market, which was last June, and we're coming from a conventional field. And so we have a lot to make up for in fertility. And I just remember looking at our first market stand and being like, I wonder what Dave's market stand looked like for the first time. Like, I hope his vegetables looked worse than they look now, because there's hope for us that we'll
get
better. But yeah, it's just like, how have you seen difference in when you first started farming and first started working the land? And have you seen your soil grow? And have you seen the biodiversity change on your land?
Yeah, the first stuff was pretty good. We were on old pasture, not conventionally farmed land. So it had been in pasture for years and years and years. We had weed problem and grass problem, but the fertility was really good. It was the in-between years when we started to move on, where it took us a while to get the fertility up in the soil. And we're still working on that. As you know, we have very clay soils around here, and they take a good deal of organic matter and to keep them going. But I thought your stuff looked great. I thought
yeah,
your
stuff
was
the stuff
really
we brought.
Oh, well, I mean, but that's always the case. You know, that's always the case. You're always going to get 4 carrots that you're not going to bring to the market. Mm-hmm. That's what, you know.
That's what we eat.
That's what kimchi is all about, right?
Exactly. So, exactly.
Yeah, you're always going to get product like that. And you always want to bring your best product to the market. So don't let those other farmers there fool you, too, because they got a lot of 4 carrots and a lot of, you know, blemished radishes and whatnot.
Dave, anything for Sarah?
Yeah, I'm curious about the business plan and how you guys want to grow the business and how you plan on growing the business, because the way we did it seemed really backwards back in the bad old days when the hippies and hippie wannabes started this business and got into it. We just planted and sold. We didn't really think about what the future would be. You know, everything was in the present. That was a big mistake. I mean, I wish that I was more of Sam and Sarah when we were younger and we were starting this business, to have more of a business plan. We'd look different than we are now. We just sort of just kept growing things and selling things and growing things without any business plan.
We definitely have a business plan, but it's more so we have set financial goals for ourselves. And Sam is totally the mastermind behind all the planning, all the finances. I try to be involved in that as less as I can. But we have basically started with how much money do we hope to make so that we can pay for a year of life. And so we start there, and then we go, how much money do we need to make each week in order for that yearly salary to come to fruition? And then from there, we say, okay, how much do we need to sell of these things to make this much money? And that's where we plan our crops from. So it's kind of starting at a totally made up point and then working from there to figure out what our year is going to look like.
Yeah, but you're new. You have to start. You have to create a baseline. Somewhere.
Yeah. And so we went with something last year. We got to a certain point, and so we recalibrated for this year, and we thought about what was realistic based on our 1 year of business experience.
Did you overestimate last year or underestimate?
I think we didn't meet our goal, but we had a high goal.
Do you have any words of advice for Sarah going forth? And then, Sarah, do you have any advice or words of encouragement for people who are perhaps on the fence about getting into farming themselves?
I don't even have to tell her this because I'm sure that it's in her heart anyways, but don't lose the feeling, because that's what's important. I need to make money, but I would gladly give my vegetables away if I could.
Cool. Yeah, I like that mentality. And for people that haven't started yet and are thinking about it, the best thing that I can tell you is try growing some food and try seeing how it goes. Like, it's not going to be perfect your first time, but the most you can do is just start and try and talk to people. And if you're interested, there's so many people there that could use a hand on their farm if you want to get some experience or want to work. Just ask. Farmers are really nice people, and they'll usually always talk to you.
Farming contributor Dave Kozlowski owns and operates Pine Hole Gardens in Oak Creek with his wife, Sandy Rodens. Sarah Crone owns and operates Village Farmstead in Oak Creek with her partner, Sam Oden. They spoke with Audrey Nowakowski, and you'll find previous farming conversations at WUWM.com.